Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
If you are in some type of battle, and maybe it's just a battle that's common to man, maybe it's a spiritual battle that you really feel, you know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But his words bring life. So make sure that as we're looking for counsel, that we look in his word and spend time there. Because his word is living. It brings life, not death. Life to us. Jesus tells these stories. That's really what he is. I mean, I don't want to, it's not that I'm bringing Jesus down any level. It's just, you know what? He related to humanity, and you know how he did it? He told stories. Now, I am a believer that principles in God's word are sacred, and there are no methods that are sacred. In other words, the way we do things. There's no methods that are sacred. There's methods that we use that seem to be fruitful, or methods sometimes that maybe aren't as fruitful. We're just used to them. That maybe we should look at changing to be more effective. But this is one thing that seems to transcend time for humanity. Just generation after generation, as people relate to stories. Stories. Stories about other people. Stories about your own life. What do you do when you get together with friends? There's always a remember the time. There's always one of those. Remember the time, or you throw out a quote that your friend said when he's there or she's there. And you go back to that story. Have you ever been the fifth wheel, so to speak? And there's some inside jokes going on with people. And you're there and they're laughing and you kind of go, I don't get it. And then they're doing this not to leave you out. Do you know why they do this some of the time? They are setting you up so they get to tell the story again. That's what they're doing. This happened the other day. I was out to breakfast with Dennis and with Joel. You want to talk about indigestion? No, I'm kidding. I went out with these two friends and had breakfast. And Dennis and I had this thing that went on a couple weeks ago. As you know, we had an open house at my place. And I wanted to power wash the garage floor. And I have a power washer. But I have been known to lend things out from time to time to people. Well, the power washer was not needed over winter. And I didn't see it in my garage. So I'm thinking, I lent this to someone. I hope they know that I just gave it to them to borrow. I could not remember. So at breakfast, we made a comment about this, and I'm going to tell you the story. And Joe's kind of like, what's going on? You know what it was? We just wanted to tell the story again. We get to relive it again. Because we remember stories when our emotions are attached to them and something happens. We are engaged. It's why Jesus told stories. So here, you want to know about the power washer? Isn't that nothing to really do with the sermon, but I'll tell you this. I was in need of my power washer. Couldn't find it in the garage. And so I spoke to Dennis, and I make misquote and I'm going to paraphrase, hopefully, and you can find out all the details from Dennis. But basically, it come down to this. I spoke to him and said, listen, do you mind if I come over and borrow my Craftsman power washer? Dennis is thinking, oh, I know that guy. This is his roundabout way to ask me to borrow his power washer. Okay, you follow this? Because I've been thinking, where is this thing? And when he was like, yeah, you can come over and get the power washer, I'm thinking, ah, he has mine. Dennis is just thinking I'm going in a roundabout way to ask him to borrow his. Well, we were talking at another moment about the power washer. Yeah, I got to get that. And he says, now you got to be careful with that power washer because I've got this end that goes on. You know, there's different ends that go on that make it very hard. I mean, the kind that, you know, you can cut a 2x4 with. Or you can just take the paint off vehicles, or you can just kind of spray stuff. Okay? He says, I got this attachment. It kind of goes like this, and it works really well. But you got to be careful with it. And I'm thinking, inside I'm thinking, why is this guy buying attachments for my power washer? So I look at him kind of tongue-in-cheek and a little smart aleck. I said, oh, so you own this power washer now? You own my power washer? He looks at me like, what are you? Well, you're kind of being a jerk. What are you telling me? He goes, yeah. It finally comes out that he does not have my power washer. It's his power washer, his Honda or whatever it is. You know. So we are laughing about this because I'm thinking, hey, you know, he's got my power washer. Woohoo, I know where it's at. I get to use it. And he's just thinking I'm asking to borrow his. And so the truth came out, and we had a good laugh about it, and we make comments about it, and Joe was lost, so we had to tell him about it, and then Joe could laugh and look at us and say, yeah, knowing you two guys, yeah, okay. So anyhow, my power washer was in a storage unit. I think that's one item where I don't think I went to my wife and say, hey, do you know where my, because she's the go-to person in the house. Do you know where my, or have you seen, I think that's one item I don't think I asked you where it was. I don't trust her with it. That thing's powerful. Anyhow, we tell this story. So we get together, we tell the story because we remember, you reminisce, you go over it, even if it happened just yesterday or 2 weeks ago. I get together with friends from other places and we talk, and it's, you right? You do the same thing. And when you get together, it's like you tell the same stories and you're adding new ones along the way because we relate to them, we understand them. It's part of our makeup. It's a method that Jesus used because humanity, for whatever reason, we latch on to that stuff. Of all the sermons and all the through the years of ministry, from time to time I still see somebody or contact or somebody calls me from the past and they say, you know, I got to tell you, I remember the time, and they begin to tell a story that I told in a sermon. They remember it. They remember it because we relate and latch on to stories, and Jesus knew that it was an effective way to communicate. I want to talk to you a little bit about this method that Jesus uses about telling a story and how important stories are. You see, when we come to church, we all come in with an old story. But when we understand that Jesus found us and we experience him, we can actually walk out of church with a new story. You see, it says in the scripture that Jesus would open his mouth in parables or stories and life lessons. It says he will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. In other words, he is telling us old truths, always and forever truths. But for us, they are new to the ones who are listening, the hearers. They're new stories. It's a new revelation to us, though that revelation has been around since the beginning. And Jesus opens up. It's kind of like the parable. He talks about the man who brings out precious things from the old storeroom. A good man knows how to bring out good things from the storeroom. Things that have been there for a long time, but they are new to the person who sees them or hears them. And that's what Jesus did, is he told these stories and new meanings to us as hearers, yet they're old truths and old principles. You look at the woman at the well. That's a common one. Well, just John chapter 4. If you don't know the story of the woman at the well, I encourage you, get a Bible, go to the Gospel of John in chapter 4, and you read about the woman at the well. She had an old story, and she came into contact with Jesus and had a new story. The old story was she was a social community outcast because of a broken life. The new story was that she was no longer this old social community outcast. Now she becomes the recruiting agent to go meet Jesus. That's the transformation that happens in her. She was an outcast and didn't want to be around anybody, and everybody looked down on her. And when she came in contact with Jesus, she runs back in town, and she's a recruiting agent. She gets the whole town to come out and see Jesus. That is a total transformation. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus can do, wants to do in us, you and me. See, I have to learn something. I have to learn to associate new meanings with old stories. In other words, the old stories of my life, the things that have happened, or maybe something new that happened, but it fits in that category of old stuff. I have got to associate new meanings that Jesus wants to bring a new story in my life, in your life. Not the old story. New story. And as new things happen in our life, you know what? We tend to look at it and say, you know what? This is something new that happened, but we quickly associate it with the old stuff. We perceive it as the old. We look at it from the old mentality instead of associating it with a new meaning, a new story. What is Jesus speaking to me now? What am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to respond? It looks like an old story, but I've got to let Jesus write a new meaning and a new story in this. That I don't just collect a bunch of things that all look the same from the past or the old man or the old stuff. You see, only when, this is why faith is so important to God. We know that we are saved by God's grace, His kindness, through believing in Him, through faith. Salvation comes by faith, not by works. Not proving to God that we're good enough to save. It is believing that Jesus is good enough to save us even though we're not worthy. See? It's by faith. Faith is really important about this old story, new story concept. It's would we actually transfer believing in the new story and not embracing the old story. Embracing the new meaning and not the old stuff that I perceived or thought was true. When we actually begin to believe and transfer our belief into Jesus and the new story and the new ways, we will experience a healing from the past. A deliverance from the old. The things that used to be. Or the things that still are, that are old, that we need to get into the new. It's when we actually begin to believe. We believe, we begin to talk different. We begin to see different. And I want to tell you something. Hanging around the new story, or hanging around people who have a new story, and you talking like the new story, does not mean that you believe the new story for you. I want you to catch that. It's like hanging around with Christians doesn't make you a Christian. You can understand the concept of a new story, and you kind of wish that it would happen for you. But you have these things about the old story or the old ways of thinking, the old ways of processing things that trip you up from ever really believing in the new story. Though you hang around with the new story, people, it doesn't mean that you deep down inside believe. You may have mental assent that understands it, but when the rubber meets the road of life, our choices, the way we choose to believe, determine whether we really are in the new story or it's the old story. Have you been around the Christian or the believer who confess they believe in the new story Jesus brings and the new meaning, but they begin to tell you how they are encumbered and how they embrace the old stuff? You ever been around them? It's about a new story. It's about choosing to believe the new story. You ever hear the term self-fulfilled prophecies? They have found something that generally tends to be true. The way that you believe about your life actually many times becomes the actual outcome of your life. You have obtained somewhere some information, and you have obtained it and you begin to believe it. And therefore, you believe it, you think it, and you know what? Everything that comes down the pike in life, you just work off that foundation. And you know what? It comes to pass. Because it's how you make choices. It's simple things, the things that maybe you were told when you were a child about you, what you would be or wouldn't be, what you could accomplish or what you would amount to or what you'd never amount to. Or you look at some past experience that from your perception, you draw conclusions from it. And you draw conclusions that, well, you know, I'm just not really very good at that, or I'll never succeed at that. And so we just settle for this, and we just, you know, we robbed ourselves from what really was intended. Because we embrace an old story, not a new story. The new life that Christ brings to us. Now, this is not a message just for those who don't have faith in Christ. This is a message to His people. This is a message to the church. Because we can believe for salvation, and then we embrace, well, I'll just be no good and suffer and everything will be bad the rest of my life. But when I die, oh, I'll get to go to heaven. I don't know that that is the mentality that really honors who Jesus is. I mean, yeah, we're going to have struggles and we're going to have some suffering and we might have persecution and we might have difficulty and we're going to deal with the problems that come down the pike at us. But how we deal with those things, how we look at Jesus, His Word, His life, and what He breathes into us, and that which we know that we hang on to by faith and by decision and by action, we can live a new story. They do this all the time in the business world, and you and I, maybe we don't recognize it, but we're susceptible to it because we are consumers. Companies do this all the time. They have a story. And then the story turns out that it's no longer desirable to consumers. So do you know what they do? They rewrite the story with a new story. It's called branding or marketing. And they rewrite the story. It's that easy. It's that simple for them. And they come out with the new story. And you know what? We're back on track, and they got our money, and we got their product. There's a principle that's at work. Hear this, that in Jesus Christ, you can write a new story. He writes it. It's new. It can be different. You and I do not have to repeat the things of the past or the old. It's a new story. He can write a new story with your life. At the moment that we begin to believe, if we continue to doubt, we continue to embrace the old, yet we read a scripture and we profess faith, but deep down in here, we don't believe it. And understand that we really don't have faith in it. We're just talking the game. We're just talking the game. We're not playing the game. Jesus told stories that would relate to people and would relate to their hardship or their difficulty or their problems, and then he would begin to tell the new story that comes to them in him. There is a measure of self-obtained information that causes us to have self-fulfilled prophecy, and it's based on what we believe. That's why the name it and claim it thing doesn't understand that that's not what God says. We're supposed to proclaim his word, and we're supposed to believe his word. And we're supposed to act upon his word. And we're supposed to live honorable unto his word. But just saying the word and repeating the word without a belief and a faith down in here does not change anything out there. And it changes nothing in here. But when we speak his word, and we declare it, and we believe it, and we wrestle through our flesh and every battle to believe in him, it is the changing from an old story to a new story. Gerald Zaltman, he's a writer, he says something very interesting. He says, you know, the word story and store are very similar on purpose, with reason. Because when you and I hear a story, we store it. That's why it's so effective communication for us. Every time you go home and look at your power washer, you're going to go, boy, pastor's goofy. Or if pastor calls me looking for his power washer, this is mine. You're not going to look at it the same. Because you remember that story. We store things. It's why Jesus told stories. Things that they could relate to, that they had emotion and response over, they tend to remember. We tend to remember. And it impacts our life, and we walk away with it. We call them sermons, but Jesus didn't preach a lot of sermons. He told a lot of stories. No, he preached some sermons. He told a lot of stories, life lessons, what the kingdom of God was like, what humanity's like, but what God is like, and what humanity experiences, what God can do. Stories and store. We store up this information. And every time we hear a story and it sparks an emotion within us and a memory within us, and the memory is not just a mental thing. We remember it in our mind, but when we remember the story, emotions rise that go along with it. Let me do it this way. There's a story about your, most of you in this room, not all of you, about your wedding day. Some of you go, oh, my wedding day. Yeah. And when you think about the story, you smile. Some of you, you think about your wedding day, and it's with a smile, but you entered into hardship, and now it doesn't bring a smile to your face anymore. You see, there's a story. We can use all kinds of scenarios that will stir up a memory for you. And when you remember it in your mind, usually something happens inside or on your face that tells how you feel about that story. Or somebody begins to bring up a story and they go, don't tell that story. Ah, don't repeat that in my house. You know, it's an agitating story for them or an embarrassing story for them. Whatever it is. Because stories, when we attach an emotion and experience on it, something we relate to, it reinforces it time and time and time and time again. That's why you can speak two words about a story to somebody who was there with you, only two words. Now, if someone else were to hear the two words, they would not be able to know what you're talking about. But you say those two words, and the person who was there, you've told it to each other so many times and relived it so many times together, that all it takes is a word or two, and they can start to laugh. They can start to cry. They could start to be sad. They could be happy. I've done this. Maybe you haven't. If you haven't, I encourage you to do it. It is a riot for the person parked in the car next to you at the light. I've been by myself in my vehicle and recalling things, recalling stories and experiences, telling them again to myself. No one's in the vehicle with me, other than maybe my dog. And I begin to laugh upon the steering wheel. Because, you know, when you're in your vehicle, you think no one can look in. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. People see you. I can laugh at you. And then you look over and they're going... stirs up something and you remember it and it continues to solidify it. And I'll tell you this, if you keep telling yourself the old story, you continue to solidify it within you. And it works against the new story of what Christ is trying to do and bring into your life. We're a Christian and things are supposed to become new. And we're a Christian and we believe in Him for our salvation. But we continue to embrace the old stories, the old ways, the old principles, the old way of processing things. We continue to embrace our perceptions. And I want you to hear this. Our perceptions are rarely 100% purely true. When will we have enough humility to say our perception may have been wrong or partly wrong? And it needs to be adjusted in a brand new story. The story that Jesus is telling. The story that God is telling us. Of how life can be different than what it was. That we can actually think different. That we can actually feel different. Not just think and feel different about the new stories he's writing, but live so much in a new way that we can, if we have to look at the old stories, we can look at them with different thought, different perspective, and let it all be washed under his blood and be free from it and free other people from it. I've watched this happen. I've watched people who are going to believe for a new story And then we watch a good, holy, well-meaning brother or sister not let them ever cross into the new story. Cross into salvation, but you need to live sad and condemned under the old stuff. It's not right. Okay. Let me ask you this. What stories are you telling yourself about yourself? Are you telling yourself the story, well, here I go again? Are you telling yourself the story, I'm no good at friendships. I'm just rebellious. Here we go again. I just screwed it up again. That's me. Is that the story that you tell yourself about yourself? Because there's emotion attached to it. And every time you repeat it, every time you open that up and you begin to believe it, you begin to solidify it more and more. That's why, you know, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that, you know, when we are in Christ, we are a new creature. Behold, all things, right, become new. The old passes away. Behold, all things become new. Say this with me. The old story is passing away. And I need to behold. All things are becoming a new story in Christ for me. That's what the scripture means. For you, for me. This is what Jesus brought to us. A new story in Him. Not just when we do church services, but outside of this building, outside of the song, inside real life, inside our homes, inside our thoughts, inside our vehicle, inside where we really are and make choices and who we truly are. It's in that place. You know, what story are you telling yourself? Is it the same old story? Because that old story, I'll tell you, is not welcomed in the kingdom of heaven. It's the new story. The old story is a starting place and what we were and how we thought. But you don't bring it into the new. Christ has rewritten it for us. He has given us life. A new story of how to face the difficulties. A new way. It's like somebody watching you go through a difficult time that they've seen you go through before. And they've seen you always respond the same way. And now you've stepped into the new story and the same kind of circumstance comes around and you respond differently. And they go, whoa, I don't recognize you. Who rewrote who you were? Whoa, there's a new story here. This is not the same old story. It's not the same old you. It comes from what story you're telling yourself about you. So, let me ask you this. What story are you living? What story are you living? Are you really living the new story? Let me ask you maybe even a more important question. Do you believe that you can live a new story? Do you believe it? Do you believe that you can live a new story? Do you believe it? You can face some of the old things coming around the block again. But the way you do it, the way I do it, can be new. The way we look at His Word and His Scripture, these are old principles from the very beginning, but when they come to me, it's like they come to me brand new. It's like the first time hearing it, and I need to be able to let go of my old perceptions and step into the new story for me. God says this, you know, in Jeremiah. He says, I know the plans I have for you. We quote this stuff all the time. You have it on plaques in your home. You can buy these plaques that say this, and it's not even a Christian store. That's how popular some of these verses are. I know the plans I have for you. To prosper you. Give you hope. Give you a future. It's not to harm you. God has waiting and ready for us a new story that's found in Him that unfolds. And our cooperation and catching ourselves and what we're telling ourselves. Are you telling yourself the new story? Or are you just telling yourself the old story? Because if you just tell yourself the old story, and that's what you believe down in here, I want you to know that you'll just keep doing the same thing. Same old thing. And we can't say, well, you know, it's just my cross to bear. That is not the cross. That thing was paid for on the cross. So don't mix up your Bible verses and your sound theology based on some personal experiences from your perception. And try to change that which is holy and that which is there to bring you life and a new story. God's got something for you. You can think, well, I'm not from anywhere and I'm of no consequence. And listen, He has got a new story for you. And do you understand that He's been trying for you and I to understand this a long time ago? That we can live different and act different and be different than that which we used to be in the old story. Stories are so important. What story are you repeating to people? Here's another one. What story are you repeating to people? What story? Is it a story of transformation? Is it just the old story and it's the old glum and it's the old muck and it's and that's it? Or are you speaking the new story? Are you telling the new story? These are questions that have to be answered by us. What story am I telling myself? Do I believe that I can live a new story? And what story am I telling other people?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It's the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.